Chapter 13, The Day He Opened My Eyes, 2024. It's an interesting show. Little ditty here, it brings me back, doesn't it? This is where it all started, you know? This is where it all started. The Day He Opened My Eyes, 2024. I had fallen ill many, many years ago. Ill. I don't mean just ill. I mean ill. I opened my eyes and I was afraid to blink, afraid they would never open again. I was sick, very sick, and every stupid thing I'd ever done went through my mind. I abused the rules, lived hard and fast, a manic life, incredible opportunities, potential in every step. All of it was heading for fame and fortune, baby. I never slept, and it finally got me. Psalm 107, 17, 8, some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Whew, that spoke to me, man. I was alone on the ground, far away from anybody who could help me. I prayed, period. I hadn't done that in years. Each breath could be the last. Exhaustion had taken over and tunnel vision was happening. It was harder to breathe and I could hear my heart slowing down. I knew that living may not be an option anymore. God, I don't know what to do. I've never known what to do. Show me what to do with all that you have given me. And from this moment on, I'll do it. Whatever you've given me, use it and let me live. Psalm 107, 19. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. From that moment until right now, I have kept my promise and stayed the course. Everything perfect? No, not hardly. Never easy. Lots of bumps in the road, misunderstanding, challenges, heartache. A sinner I am, unworthy. The Word, capital W, Jesus. All part of a different life. All uncharted by me. Wow. John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. All this didn't come day one, kids. Life gets better with Jesus. A spiritual foundation that affects the first day. And a day becomes a week and so on and so forth. A week and a month and a year. And as the days and the years go by, yearning for the word, prayer is a gift rarely used unless in terror conditions. Well, I changed that. Not a day goes by that I don't pray. And if it feels like I'm not praying enough, I talk to him about it. But that didn't happen overnight. I didn't understand. The hard part is realizing the life I wasted. I thought about that a lot. I think about it now. The life I wasted and what could have been. And then there is the word. Deuteronomy 33:13. God, your God, will restore everything you lost. He'll have compassion on you. He'll come back and pick up the pieces from all the places where you were scattered. I call that elusive gain. Can't really see it, but like a dividend, it pays me every day the pain of remembering. And that keeps me from wanting to do it again. The day he opened my eyes, all this didn't happen day one, but it was a beginning. The beginning of a different direction. The yield of God is I open my eyes every day. Get it? Yeah, think about that for a second. I open my eyes every day. Big plus. I get another chance to be better. Why? Because it was perfect after I made my promise? Obviously not. I get another chance at it every day. Because he allowed me to live. What I wanted prior to Jesus was ridiculous. The stuff I wanted, it was ridiculous, but I couldn't see it then. I couldn't see that what I wanted was nothing more than a clown suit. Important, money, prestige. It is unobtainable. It is unobtainable. It's a false god. It is unobtainable. Even if you have it, you've already lost. Even if you have it, you've already lost. A slave servant to vanity. Ecclesiastes 4:4, and I saw that all toil and all achievement spring from one person's envy of another. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Kids, can you dig that? Can you dig that? And I saw that all toil and all achievement spring from one person's envy of another. Wow. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. You know, in this election year, a joke came to my mind, right? I probably learned it from either flight school or Billy Graham. I'm not sure. I can't recall which, but it goes like this. Yeah, this applies, this little joke, this little ditty applies to living life without Jesus. I think of it as I'm watching this election year unfold in front of me. And I'm telling you, man, you got to vote. The nonsense that's going on here is huge. You got to vote. But here's my joke. Okay, here we go. An airplane was flying along when one of the engines just up and quit. Well, it had four engines. People were afraid, but there were more engines. There were three more engines, so I felt okay, until two more went out, leaving only one engine left. Well, suddenly the cockpit cabin door flew open, and there was the pilot stepping through with a parachute tied on to his back, and he said, "Don't worry, everybody. All will be fine. I'm going for help." That's the way I feel watching all this politicking in our beloved America. Well, it's kind of like that without the Lord. Without the Lord, nobody's got a parachute. And the devil bails out and leaves me hanging. And it cost me my life. What was I doing on that airplane in this joke? Apparently, somebody sold me a bill of goods. Revelation 2:11, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. That took me a while to understand. But I couldn't have done it if I had not said that prayer first. He had not opened my eyes. The second death, you're going to die unless Jesus shows up and takes you away. You're going to die. That's the first death. What's the second death? The second death is if you have not accepted Jesus when the great judgment comes. The second death is you'll stand in front of Jesus and he will send you to hell. For those who walked away from God, did not believe, fought the word. Sounds pretty harsh. Because it is, man. I didn't know what that meant on the first day or the second day. It's a long time before I knew, and now I know. People don't want to hear this stuff because it's hard. They want God to be easy and everybody goes to heaven and everybody gets forgiven that's in hell. That's not the way the book says it happens. Look, we don't have a choice. But if he hadn't opened my eyes that day, what if I had not made it that day? Where would I be today waiting for not a good end? It wouldn't have been good. The white throne judgment, the day Satan loses completely, and all those who did not follow the Lord. Until then, chapter 13 helps me understand the great commission we are all called to do. Doesn't it sound a lot better than an eternity in hell? This is our commission. Not so bad. Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Boom! He says it right there. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Wow! That is awesome. You notice he didn't just say people, nations. Nations. I've talked to you before about America. America was created by Jesus Christ. It's in our history. John 3:5-8, Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." What does that mean? Born again. As I lay there on the ground that day, as the last word of prayer barely made it out of my mouth, I wasn't on the ground. I stood completely myself and in good order. What is this power? What? I said, amen. And there I was then. And here I am today, so many years later. My voice is strong in testimony and the words the Lord has given. Thank you, Jesus. Born again in Jesus. My life is nothing I'd ever imagined. A long line of learning, testing, rehabilitating, reading the Bible when I didn't know what it meant, praying when I don't know how. 2 Corinthians 5:16, from now on, therefore we regard no one according to the flesh. What's that mean? That means that you agree not to do stupid things anymore. And when you do stupid things, you repent. Being born again means you follow Christ and you teach others about Christ and what Christ has done in your life. I'm doing that right now. Does that mean everything is perfect? It means everything is hard, but in a better way. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. What's that mean? Well, you can't judge what's happening with God by the world. You got to be careful with that. If I believe in God, I get a new bicycle. God does what is best for all things. Verse 17 in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Dig that. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. But to be reconciled to the fact that God's got a better idea than me. Fame and glory, money, property and prestige, it'll always be there, right? It'll always be there for me. I'll think about it. It's just not as sparkly as it once was to me. It's a false god. Money, property, and prestige. The glory, baby. Fame and glory. It's a false god. Not as sparkly as it used to be. I have felt the pull of temptation on the path in front of me for sure. And I'm sure it's not going to be the last of it. One of those challenging days, I'd found myself on a slippery slope. I'd been there before, yeah? Right? We all been there. I've been there before. It was familiar to me. It was comfortable to me, huh? Found myself on a slippery slope. I'm remembering one time. There were many. I'm just giving you one, right? It didn't happen one time. It happens all the time. But this time, a voice came into my head. It was loud, as if somebody was actually speaking in my head. It was a thought. There wasn't anybody speaking. I'm not one of those guys that get facts from God, or I talked to God and he answered me that. I'm not one of those guys. But a thought came into my head. Man, it was loud. I was just about to make a big mistake. And I heard this thought. I heard this thought. I did not prepare you for this. Let me say it again. I did not prepare you for this. I heard that. I heard it three times. And I listened to it. My eyes opened. Again, my eyes opened before what? before a free fall off the proverbial cliff, right? I listened. Thank God I knew his voice. Thank God I listened. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Doesn't that sound a lot better than anything? With Jesus from day one, my eyes could see what isn't good. My eyes could see what isn't good right away. More importantly, my ears could hear the scripture. Like we were talking about with Gary today, my ears could hear the scripture. And the scripture means more every year. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldliness passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. No is a complete sentence. Understand what is given in talent, your talent, and use it. Well, I can't direct you. I have promised I just want to use the talent he's given me only for the work of heaven, always in the name of honor, the name and honor of him, always in the name and honor of him. Who's him? Well, come on. I had somebody ask me that last week. He's on the phone right now in Europe. Romans 11:29, for the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. If the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable, why would I want to fight it? Show me what to do with it, man. Just like my first prayer, show me and I'll do it. Just show me. Do I make mistakes? Yeah, and I repent. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. Sin, debauchery. I made it. What did I do? I slipped and fell. What happens? He picks me up. What's the roadblock of chapter 13? What's the roadblock of the day he opened my eyes? Kidding yourself, lying to myself, deceit, foolishness, lack of knowledge, stubbornness, arrogance, haughty and stupid. If I go back, man, I'm lost. I'm lost. And although I fumble all the time. I fumble, but I don't want to. I don't want to fumble, but I am tested by myself, by God. I'm tested and I fumble, but I don't want to. That's born again. Born again is I don't want to. Not born again is pretending like you're born again is it doesn't matter. It does matter. My promise to him matters to me. It matters. I want to do what he says. But on that road, I will stumble because I'm me. He's teaching me. I've seen folks fail their promise before, their promise, whatever their promise was. I've seen them fail and give up. It doesn't work out so good. As they say, dangerous curves ahead. Hosea 4, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Look, I didn't write it. I'm just telling you what it says. We don't have a choice of which God we have. This is the God we have. This is the God of the universe. It doesn't seem like a very good idea. Lack of knowledge is being stupid. Lack of knowledge is having the knowledge and deciding not to use it. And it says here, I will also reject thee. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. What's the knowledge? And thou shalt be no priest to me? That means, don't worry about the commission, man. Don't worry about the commission. You're not one of my reps. You're fired. That's scary. Not a great idea here, right? Rather choose to see and experience a magnificent choreography in God's training of you, me, the power given of the Holy Spirit to be used as was designed for you before time itself. Open your eyes, my friends. Pray to God that you can see what not to do. Habakkuk 2:3, for still the vision awaits its appointed time. Doesn't that sound awesome? The vision of what? You and God. God and God. God and his plan. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. What does that mean? Hey, man, Jesus is coming. Who am I, or who are you, or who is anybody to say that's not true? The word does not lie. God does not lie. The real you is coming because you're working on it. And what God plans to do is coming for everybody. The book says the road is narrow. My grandma said the road to perdition is a freeway. That's a funny thing we remember, right? Matthew 7:13-14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Come on! You're on it. You're there. Don't waste the moment. Open your eyes and know what not to do. Matthew 12:33. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. What's that? My kids. I'm the only example my woke kids have. And they don't like it. They don't like it. I'm telling you, they don't like it. No, they don't like it. No. And they're fighting it. Oh, God, I pray, right? I've thought about that day, the day he opened my eyes. I've thought about it for years. I can assure you he doesn't lie. Even in my promise, I can't promise like God can, but I made my promise as best I could. With what I had, I made my promise with all the heart and soul that I had, and I didn't have much. Sure, I've stumbled, fallen, and gotten back up in the strength and courage that can only be found in a God who is present. Present. He's here. He kept his end of the deal. And I try to keep my promise. And even in my failures, he allows me to continue in his grace to try again, because I want it. I want it. I don't want to skip out on my promise. Remember that joke where the guy is praying for God? He got knocked off the boat in the middle of the ocean. And as he gets closer, you know, as he starts swimming, oh, God, help me, pray, you know, and he gets closer. Suddenly he can see land. He's like, I will promise God, do anything. I'll go to church every, and he sees a little bit closer to land. Well, I'll go to church as much as I can, you know. And then the closer he gets, he goes, I'll, you know, go to church, you know, on holidays. I mean, by the time he gets to the, by the time his prayer is answered and he gets to the beach, he doesn't even remember what he promised. It was not me. I want to do what I ask. I want to know what he has for me. I want to know why he gave me the gifts he gave me. You want to know why he gave you the gifts he gave you. You want to know. The only way to do that is to try to follow his ways. He knows it's going to be hard. He says it in a book. Everybody's going to have trouble. So what? Try. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. You get that? And do not lean on your own understanding. You're not going to get it. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Even though it doesn't seem like it, make no mistake. I made a deal with God, just like everybody does. Oh, help me, and I'll do everything. I did. I made a desperate deal with God. You know what? I thought about it over the years. Thank God it was God that I made the deal with. Thank God it was God, because I didn't know the difference between the voice of reason and the voice of treason. I didn't know the difference. Thank God I made a deal with the one true God. A desperate deal, as I said. I caution all of us. And God honored it. He came and got me. He said, okay. He came and got me. But I caution all of us, if I look back on that, this world offers many deals, many desperate deals. Be very careful where you sign your name and who you strike a deal with. Many of you have had these cash advances. That's a deal with the devil, isn't it? Cash advance. In our ignorance, we do terrible things. That's why that scripture says, lack of knowledge will be the end of my people. You just don't pay attention to what God is saying. In our ignorance, we do terrible things, stupid things, costly, damaging things. Chapter 13, the day he opened my eyes. You see, my friends, like I said, my eyes were always open. There was just way more to see, right? There's way more to see. My eyes were always open. till I was afraid they wouldn't open. Isaiah 41:9, I took you from the ends of the earth. From its farthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. Doesn't that sound great? I have chosen you, the God of the universe. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He's talking to you. He's talking to me. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you. Now in closing I say, okay, now that you got that, what are you going to do with it? Huh? What are you going to do with it? Amen, amen. Chapter 13, the day he opened my eyes, 2024. John, let's do what we do.